Conversations like the one you are about to hear are supported by NetForce PC. From fixing your home PC or Mac to complete managed IT services for your company's network, NetForce PC can help. NetForcePC.com.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, you're described as a singer-songwriter, but I don't know. I guess that term seems a little unsatisfying to me. It's kind of general. Do you have a better way or a more specific way to describe your music?
You know, Greg Brown used to say singer-songwriter sounded too much like a sewing machine, not a particularly felicitous term. And I agree. I never liked it either. I mean, I think of myself as a musician, certainly. Although it took me a long time to come around to that conclusion. And then I think of myself as a writer, and the medium I'm working in is songs. Most of what I do comes out of American country and blues music. The things that fed into those forms and the places that they went, you know, rock and roll, for instance. And, you know, I travel around, I play music for people. Sometimes Billy, my drummer, and I would joke, you know, we're essentially like, we're sort of professional strangers, you know, like our job is to not look like everybody else in your town. And then we show up and we set up in a very formal kind of way, right, where we sit at one end of a dark room with the lights on us, and then we just try to tell the truth for like an hour and then leave. And where the truth is, we're not too very different from anybody else. Billy works on a ranch in Montana, and you know, I live in this little town in New England, and most of the time we're just like anybody else. But then our job is to go out and do this sort of Lone Ranger routine with guitars and drums. And that's the job, the way I think about it, you know, essentially is you getting into a room with a bunch of people and you're trying to communicate, make everybody feel a little bit more human and maybe a little bit less lonely in this experiment. And that's as much as you can really say about it. I live in what amounts to a model railroad set out here in New England.
Yeah, I can hear
so
that.
If you hear the train, that's because the entire valley is hearing the train at the same time.
I was going to say that's pretty good timing there. Well, Jeffrey, where do the ideas for your songwriting come from?
Well, they come from lived experience and memory, but then I think the engine that drives those glimpses or reveries or whatever they are into the form of a song, I would say that those are fired up by my reading of poetry and books, nonfiction books, history books, novels, novellas, that sort of stuff, and then whatever other experience of art I have, and of course the long conversation that I have with other people who do what I do and have done what I do. I never really did feel like I was part of any particular scene, geographically speaking. I always felt like the scene I was in included a lot of people who are dead and then some people who are alive. And, you know, those are the people I write about and to in some sense. You know, I just cut a record last week. It won't come out for quite a while, I suppose, but and there's a song on there that I wrote sort of two and four. Reiner Potocek is one of my favorite songwriters. Mm-hmm. That guy's been dead 20 years now.
Yeah. Well, I was on your website earlier today, and I saw this kind of a funny quote that you said, Peter Mulvey is directly or indirectly responsible for your career, your marriage, and your intense dislike for Scrabble. And I just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about your relationship with Peter Mulvey.
Yeah, well, so Mulvey, when I finished college, I went to school at the University of Wisconsin. I studied history. I got about halfway through, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing there. And my whole life sort of felt like trying to go on dates before you have a driver's license. You know, you got to, like, your mom has to drive. That's what college felt like to me, you know, sort of hand-holding. toward adulthood, and there you are, and you're 20, and I just was tired of it, and I wanted to get an outside job and earn some money, and so I dropped out for a while. I did that, and turns out, you know, carrying drywall up a ladder in the rain in November has a clarifying effect on the uses of higher education. But I went back, and I got my degree, and then I just kind of fooled around for a few years. I was writing songs all that time. I started writing them when I dropped out of school, and I continued to write when I was back. And I moved out to California for a little while, and I moved out to Wyoming for a little while. And I'd come back, and I was living in this little town, you know, Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, and there was a club called the Cafe Carp. And Bill, who ran the Carp with his partner Kitty, had put a bunch of vinyl records out in the 70s. He was a songwriter of some local Midwestern, you know, fame. Back when it was hard to be an original musician, he was certainly doing it. And he would put me on the bill with whoever was coming through town. And that's how I met, you know, Greg Brown and Peter Maltby and Chris Smither and Bill Morrissey, you know, a bunch of guys who were kind of doing the couch circuit thing, playing guitar, singing songs. And Maltby and I sat up, we just, you know, we hit it off. We sat up till about 3 in the morning just trading songs back and forth. And finally he says, you know, have you recorded any of these songs? I said, no. He said, well, you should make a record. And, you know, if you want a little bit of help with it, I'll play on it. And I, at the time, you know, I was like, wow, a real musician wants me to help me make a record. I was so impressed. And so he did. I cut this record. It took me forever. He showed up and just, you know, he put a little bit of, high-strung guitar and lap steel guitar. He sang a little bit. And then when it got done, he gave it to his management, and they took a shine to it. And somebody who was working publicity for their management, they took a shine to it. And pretty soon I had a manager. And then after I had a manager, I had a record label. And pretty soon I was on the road like 200 nights a year, right? Not too very long after that. And then Molly was going over to England on a triple bill tour, little theaters and stuff in the UK. It was going to be him and Josh Ritter and Aaron McEwen. And Aaron and Josh both had new records that did real well right at that moment, and they had to honor some other obligations. So he had to pitch that to her. So he called up the second stringers, and he got Chris Delmhorst to go along, and he got me. And that's how I met Chris, and we started talking to each other on that trip and then never stopped, and we got married about a year later. Molly, you know, Molly has been one of my best friends and favorite people for a very long time, notwithstanding his how much he loves the game Scrabble, which I find sort of annoying.
Well, you are going to be here in Cortez on Sunday, May 7th. We're really looking forward to you being here and hearing you play your music. Megan Burt is going to be joining you here in Cortez, and I don't know too much about Megan Burt. Could you tell me a little bit about her and her music?
I came across Megan's music through John Stotts, who is a Denver guy now, but who grew up in Wisconsin. And when he was a youngster, he used to come and see me play in Madison and various little towns. And he was a fan, I think, of my first or second record. And so I remember him. He used to come and say hi to me, you know, talk a little bit. And then he became a musician and made a number of records. And then I produced a record for him a couple of years ago called Tulsa, using my rhythm section, and then and I played some guitar. Mark Spencer from Sunvolt played some guitar, and we had a good time. His new record is produced by Megan Burt. She's a Denver born and raised songwriter, and the stuff that I've heard, I've never met her. The stuff that I've heard, I thought was real good. And he said, and I said, I need somebody to open this little run out in Colorado. And it'd be nice to have somebody more or less local, and he was going to be in Europe. He said, well, you should talk to my friend Megan. So that's how that came about. I'm looking forward to getting to hear her play every night. The songs I've heard, I thought were real good.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you both. Well, Jeffrey, thanks again so much for talking with me. I really appreciate your time. And again, we are really looking forward to having you here at the Sunflower Theater in Cortez.
Yeah, absolutely. I've always wanted to see Cortez. I never have been. I've driven past it, but I never stopped. And
it's a common story.
The guitar strings I use
Oh yeah, Kurt Mangan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Great. Well, you'll have to pick up some new strings while you're here, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds good. Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. That's Jeffrey Folkalt. He is going to be appearing at the Sunflower Theater Sunday, May 7th at 7 o'clock. Make sure you get your tickets at sunflowertheater.org. I'm Tom Yoder.